I'm starting the new year off with laughter. This is Dawn Burks with From the Hip. We're back at it. Today again, I am with the lovely Jennifer Emily.
Hello, I too have joy in my heart.
She's saying that because this morning, the first thing I did upon waking up was I tweeted the world that I had woken up with joy in my heart and a song in my soul because I was one day closer to Black Panther.
I can't wait.
I know. I'm planning my outfit and everything.
I've been ready since the first preview.
I know. Like the teaser trailer.
The teaser trailer, yeah.
And this 2018, I dare say, is going to be as filled with great television and movies and hopefully music. I don't know. Music sometimes leaves me cold, as 2017 was.
We'll be hopeful because this is the new year. We're only a few days in.
We're only a few days in, which means we still have joy in our hearts, which is why.
Check back in a couple weeks and see where we are.
And see what happens. So here's this thing. It's been extra cold here, right?
So cold. I wore 2 pants and 2 shirts.
Same. That's what I did yesterday, definitely. And I was still like really cold. Like so cold, my thighs were cold. That's an issue when your thighs are cold. But that's neither here nor there. That's just begging for an HR complaint. So anyway, before the break, that's what we're going to call it, because today we're being produced by the great Tommy Noel, and he called it the break. Right before the break, well, right after, I wrote this story about TV shows that make you feel good, right?
Right, and there are some good shows that make you feel good, and not in a saccharine, yucky kind of way, where you're like, you kind of get caught into it, like a Hallmark movie, and then you're just like, I'm not watching that anymore.
No. These are shows that are critically acclaimed.
Yes.
And get good ratings.
Yes, the fans are there, the critics are there.
Yeah, but you actually learn something when you watch them. You learn how to be a better human, I think.
I think you do too, and you don't really notice it. That's what's so good about it, that you're watching and you're all caught up and you're just like, huh.
Yeah.
What, did they just teach me something? Was I just schooled?
Right. Did I just learn something that I can now pass on to another person? Like, okay, first show up, of course. Of course. I mean, this isn't even a stretch. It's even in the title. It's called The Good Place.
I love this show.
NBC.
I can't get enough. When it's over, I'm happy, but then I'm sad because it's over. And
when it's over, I just rewatch it.
I love when I let a couple build up and then I can do a little binge, but not a big binge because I can't really let that many build up.
You can't because you have to watch because you have to know what shenanigans are they up to next. Okay, for those of you who haven't watched The Good Place, all you need to know, 2 words. Okay, 4 words. Ted Danson.
Kristen Bell.
She knew the other 2 words.
I have such a girl crush on Kristen Bell. She is delightful in everything she does.
I want her to be my best friend.
I know.
I think she is.
She probably would be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, how could she not?
I mean, she is just funny. She has a little snark, but it's, you know, there's snark, there's funny, there's ethics lessons.
There's snunny.
Snunny.
Farky.
And then, you know, Ted Danson is just almost like over the top, but
in a measured way.
Like, you don't really realize it's over the top until you reflect back on what he just did.
This is not Sam Malone Ted Danson.
No.
And I think this show is testament to how good an actor he is.
He's great. If you guys ever saw him on the very short-lived HBO's Bored to Death.
Yes.
He was good. He was good on that too. And it was kind of the same over the top, but yet measured.
Right.
So, can I ask y'all a question?
Yes.
I know what you're going to ask.
No, you don't. Wait, what do you think I was going to ask?
What is the show
about? What is
about?
It about?
No, no. My question is, how many episodes did it take before you were hooked? Because I gave it a try, and I didn't like it.
I am going to say, full disclosure, that NBC, bless their hearts, sent 4 episodes. And I think that it took me until the end of the second to be completely hooked. I've got to see what happens next.
That I cut out way too early.
Yeah, you did.
I was into it the first episode, but hooked by episode 2.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
I knew about episode 1 I was going to keep watching, but you know, my love for Kristen Bell knows no bounds.
That's
you know?
The thing.
For those of you also should check out, if you haven't, Veronica Mars. She's amazing in on that.
Or
as
how about this? Anything she's in.
But so basically, just so if you haven't watched and you must.
Yes.
The Good Place is The Good Place.
Don't tell them. We need them to check it out because we told them to.
So basically, Kristen Bell's character, Eleanor, dies.
Eleanor dies. In a very auspicious way.
Which you will find out upon watching this amazing show. That she dies and she ends up in the good place.
Yes.
But it turns out that she really wasn't that good of a person.
No, she's not.
And something got mixed up and she should not have gone to the good place. She should have gone to the bad place.
So she spends all her time in the good place trying to, first of all, trying to hide that she's an imposter.
Right. And a bad person.
And a bad person, you know. But then she's like, well, while I'm here, I kind of want to stay here. Because I don't know what's there. So she enlists the help of, in the good place, everyone has a soulmate. She enlists the help of her soulmate, Chidi, who is a former ethics professor.
Who really has trouble making decisions.
Like, yes.
You know, do I want, this isn't one, but do I want regular or decaf? You know,
even basic decisions. He can't decide anything. But what he can decide are the ethics and morals of situations. So he ends up holding class for her. So you're going to learn those lessons, the class lessons in that classroom setting, but then you're going to learn so much more about the grays that people
and,
live in.
You know, classroom setting, it's a living room, and Eleanor still responds in her snarky, I'm not really a good person, but I'm trying to be, kind of way.
Yeah.
And you know, in the good place, because Eleanor isn't supposed to be there, it causes all these problems in the neighborhood, which is designed by Michael, played by Ted Danson.
Yes, he's an architect of the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And this is an interesting depiction of, let's call them heaven and hell, for lack of better, for lack of any other words, an interesting depiction of how these things are formed. It kind of reminded me of Beetlejuice in that they were cast as like civil servants.
Yes, they are. They're civil servants. They are doing a job.
They're pencil pushers. Is bureaucracy involved? It's corporations. It's anyway, watch it and. We don't want to take up too much of your time because we've already told you in no uncertain terms that you should watch The Good Place because you will learn something. The headline I had on this piece was Find Your Gooey Moral Center by watching these shows. So up next.
It's better than a chocolate chip cookie right out of the oven.
She said that, y'all. I was thinking Popeye's spicy chicken.
Well, I thought, you know, gooey, warm center. Yeah. You don't really want that in your chicken.
No, you really don't, do you? Speaking of, I got a note. I've been on a Twitter tear lately. I went to Popeye's. Mm-hmm. I was feeling myself. I was like, you know, I've been not a diet because the first 3 letters of the word spell the word die. And I don't believe in that. But I've just been, you know, trying to protect my bod. And I was like, you know what? It's been a rough day. I am going to get me some chicken. I went to Popeye's, roll up through the drive-thru, make my order, get all the way up there to pay for it. And then chick comes to tell me, I'm sorry, we're out of spicy chicken. I'm like, what good are you? I mean, isn't the whole conceit of Popeye's to have spicy chicken?
I didn't know they had non-spicy chicken.
See what I'm saying?
Were they out of chicken?
No, that's what I thought. When you tell me you're out of spicy chicken, she should have shut off her light. It was very upsetting to me. Okay, next story. It was very, very upsetting. And I just had to get out there. Popeyes, you got to do better. Mm-hmm. And not all of you. Some of you are better than others. This particular location, though. Number one, you could have told me that when I was back there ordering spicy chicken. You going to wait till after. Girl, please. You better give me my refund. Anyway, next show is Lucifer.
Which
on Fox.
You started watching from the beginning.
Yes.
But I only started watching maybe in November, and now, of course, I'm all cut up because how can you not?
How can you not?
It's one of those, it's so sinfully delightful, but
oh
yet,
my God, yes.
You know, you're feeling good.
It's delicious.
It is delicious.
But it's, for it to be purportedly about the devil here, mm-hmm. It's actually a feel-good show. Okay, follow me here. I started watching from jump because this is based on Neil Gaiman's work. And Neil Gaiman is a geek god that really doesn't have a parallel. Well, he has a couple, but we're talking about Neil Gaiman right now, not the others. And so I started watching because of that. So Lucifer has taken it upon himself. He is tired of hell. I mean, who wouldn't be? You may be the king of hell, but you know what? It's still hell.
And so his full name is Lucifer Morningstar.
Yes.
Do you just love it?
It's just awesome. And Tom Ellis plays the titular character. And Lucifer has decided to retire, cutting off his wings and all, has decided to retire to Los Angeles, which you get that right. You following us, right? Los Angeles. He's a fallen angel. It's the city of angels. Don't make me walk you to it. But and he opens a nightclub. You with me? All right. He ends up learning. He's got daddy issues, of course. But he ends up learning so much about humans and humanity that you end up learning about humans and humanity.
And as you follow along with his journey, there is a police detective who he becomes enamored with.
Yes. Chloe Decker.
Yes. And she meets Lucifer because he is a witness to a homicide. And then he starts wanting to solve crimes with her, and he tries to worm his way into her cases.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody else kind of falls under his thrall. And, mm-hmm. you know, he says, what do you most desire?
And then he learns all the clues he needs to solve any case.
And you would tell this man all your secrets.
Yes.
But Chloe Decker.
A couple of times he said that, and I told him a secret.
But Chloe Decker does not, you know, fall for his tricks. And he's kind of enamored, like, what's with this woman that I can't get her to open up to me? Yeah. And he sort of learns more about himself and sort of makes that connection with himself, even though he's an angel, but the human side of himself.
And oh my God, D.B. Woodside plays his brother, an angel by the name of Amenadiel. Y'all remember D.B. Woodside? This is Principal Wood from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And Collard Green from Romeo Must Die, if we need to go back all that way. And he was old boy, the one with the deep voice in the Temptations movie. Y'all with me? You know what I'm talking about.
I think he's more muscly and like, than ever.
He's like, oh, I'm playing an angel. I got to carry around these big wings. I better get buff.
But in Lucifer's absence, his brother has had to guard hell, and he is not happy about it, because if your brother screwed you over like that, would you be happy?
I mean, because who wants to guard hell? Because it's still hell. You might be king. It's still hell. I mean, there's nowhere to go but up. The rest of us say that. He means it.
So he's on a mission to get Lucifer Morningstar to go back to hell, and Lucifer doesn't want to go because he's on vacation. Yeah. In Los Angeles, and now he's wanting to figure out Chloe Decker. And, you know, he can have anybody he wants, but Chloe Decker doesn't want him.
And he's, you know, his mother shows up, the goddess of all creation, played by another sci-fi favorite, Tricia Helfer.
She's so wonderful.
She is awesome. I mean, this is Six from Battlestar Galactica. Come on, y'all. Walk with me. Y'all want to see this. because your little sci-fi heart needs to see it. Your little sci-fi geek loving heart needs to see it. Okay, what we got next? We got Young Sheldon. Have you seen this yet?
I am not a Big Bang Theory person.
Neither am I. I hate that show.
I have not.
Oh, I said it out loud.
I don't think we have to bleep it. I think it'll be okay.
Okay. I think so.
I say so.
That show annoys me to no end. So I can't watch it. But
Young Sheldon?
I watch Young Sheldon and I love it. Hmm. It's everything The Big Bang Theory is not. It has heart. It's good writing. It's better acting, even though old Sheldon keeps winning Emmys for it.
Yeah, I don't get that. Like, time after time. It's like, fine, give him an Emmy, but...
I think they just know his name. I think they're like, I haven't watched any of these shows, but he's won a couple of times, so check. Hmm. I think that happens more often, more than we care to think. But Young Sheldon is on CBS. You can stream it on CBS.com. It's on CBS All Access. And even if you know, like I know, The Big Bang Theory is not your cup of tea, even though you've tried to watch it over and over and over again, I just can't. I can't.
But apparently people who love The Big Bang Theory also love Young Sheldon.
Right. But Young Sheldon brings in another demographic because it's ostensibly about family. Because this is 9-year-old Sheldon who is going to high school. Hmm. And his father is the football coach. And his brother is a jock. You know, and his sister just hates everybody. And the mom is the glue. And this is a show about how all of them have had to deal with his genius at such a young age.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So you put the show The Orville on the bubble for, like, it's kind of teaches you stuff.
I did.
And
only because I've only seen, like, 2 episodes.
Oh, okay. Well, I've seen them all.
So we know your vote.
Yes. And I heard about it and I was like, I don't really want to watch a parody of Star Trek. It's not a parody of Star Trek. It embraces all the heart and love that Star Trek has and throws it up there. And it's not Star Trek, but it's like it. And I only started watching this show because I went to visit my dad. And my dad is like, you got to watch this show. And so I did. And I'm like, it's pretty good. And then I watched a couple more and I really got into it. And it, you know, is a, you know, somewhat of a message. It doesn't make you feel as good as maybe some other shows, but like there's one episode where it's about really social media. It's the point they visit this planet that's very much like Earth, and everybody has an up or down button on them that you can like or dislike. And let me tell you, bad, 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 horrible things happen to you if you get too many downvotes.
Oh, God.
So it's sort of like, you know, what happens when we go to extremes.
Okay. This reminds me of that FXX show. Well, I can't remember the name of it. Suddenly it's slipping my mind. Where you can, like, there's a dating app, and if someone swipes right, you really get swiped right, like in real life.
You feel it?
Yeah. Oh, no, it knocks you across the room.
Oh, wow. I mean, it's not like a gentle.
No. I'm gonna remember the name of the show by the end of the show. No, no promises. I don't make New Year's resolutions, but that might be one this year. I'm not making any promises to any of y'all. Unless you got the bucks. You got the bucks, I might promise you something. Okay, HR, stop. Tommy, just stop me.
No, keep going. And well, I was looking up your show, and I think, is it called Swipe Right?
No.
Oh, it's not. Okay.
It.
Oh, never mind.
Man Seeking Woman?
Man Seeking Woman?
I think that's the name of it.
Okay. I will let you know.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Future Man is on Hulu.
See, I don't watch this one either.
Oh, my God. Future Man doesn't purport to teach you about anything. It's a silly romp of a show. But, man, when I tell you I watched every episode in a 3-day period, and I think it's 13 or 14, because... it's so bad that it's good, and then it's so good that it makes you feel good. Okay, Walt Whitman here. Josh Futterman, played by Josh Hutcherson, who is usually off-putting, and I am not afraid to say that I normally don't like him in anything. He just puts me off, thus the term off-putting. But I like him in this, Perhaps because his character is supposed to be a little off-putting. But his character, he's a janitor at a biotech research firm. And the firm's whole existence is about trying to eradicate disease, a certain disease, herpes, which, you know, considering that, like, I think it's like 1 in 5 people have it. Okay, thank you. So anyway, he plays video games, and he plays this one called Biotic Wars a whole lot, and he's stuck on the penultimate level. Well, when he finally gets past that level and gets to the end and he wins, he finds out that this game is a training game that has been sent back in time from the future to find help for the real Biotic Wars. And as soon as he finishes the level, out come 2 leaders of the resistance from the real Biotic Wars. And they tell him, they call him by his screen name, Future Man. And they tell him that they're there to kill the person who made their lives miserable. And it turns out to be his boss's boss's boss.
It's kind of that fantasy, if you don't like your boss's boss's boss, you're going to help take him out?
Kind of, except by taking him out, you stop herpes from being cured.
So it's kind of like would you go back in time and kill Hitler?
Right.
But with less, far, far, far less, you know.
Right,
you
far less implications.
Yeah, like if you don't cure herpes, it's really fine as opposed
It turns out that the herpes cure eradicates everything.
All diseases?
All diseases.
Oh, wow.
Makes people beautiful and young and this, that, and other. Anyway, the things that he ends up teaching them, just by virtue of they come from a culture where they've had to kill or be killed. They don't have food, so they eat rats. That sort of thing, right? Stat rat, look out.
Have a rat or two or more here
and
at the Dallas Morning News.
And you know what? And we're going to... They keep trying to get rid of them, but as long as we're digging up the parking lot next door, mm-hmm. we're just going to have rats.
You two can follow this rat on Twitter, stat_rat.
Yes, yes. From what some other publication wrote that we had like three Statler rat accounts, but who knows? I'm surprised the Statler hasn't come to us and be like, could you get our name away from the rat? But he ends up teaching them things like why it's wrong to kill a baby.
If you don't have this lesson down, you are too far gone to enjoy these shows.
Or just, you know, how to get in touch with your emotions, or how to make a vocation out of something that you love, as opposed to just being a soldier. Mm-hmm. You know, there are lessons here. But man, is it fun to get the lessons. It's so fun. Oh my God. Keith David is in it. Keith David.
Who is Keith David? I'm not placing him.
Okay. Oh, I had to take off my headphones for a minute. Keith David has a melodious voice, and he voices some of the superhero cartoons and Princess and the Frog and things that you would know put 2 and 2 together. Mm-hmm. So he's awesome and he's in everything he needs to be. And I think Tommy's probably mad at me, so I better get to the mayor. Every time I watch it,
Tommy, are you mad at Tommy?
I'm not. I'm never mad at Tommy.
All track of time, by the way.
I know.
Will you be mad at me if I throw in my show that makes me feel good?
I will be if you don't wait until after I talk about the mayor.
Okay. I'll pipe myself down.
Back away. Okay. The mayor, and it won't take me long with the mayor, because the mayor, I keep episodes of the mayor on my DVR because sometimes I just need a smile. And from the opening, from the cold opens to the end credits, I know that I'm going to be cheesing, grinning the entire time. This dude, rapper Courtney Rose has decided to jumpstart his flailing career. It's flailing. It's not even a career. To jumpstart his fame by running for mayor of his hometown of Fort Gray, California. Lo and behold, because of his just being real at the debates, which he had to do to maintain his candidacy, I guess, he wins. And after a talk from his mother, he decides to take the office. Because initially, okay, I won. Let me go get the key to the city or whatnot. They can never take it off my resume once it's on there. I'm just going to abdicate. No, he ends up being mayor. Lea Michele is in it. Yes, most people would groan when they hear that. But listen, so far, she has only raised her voice in song one time, and it was entirely appropriate and befitting her character. So I'm okay with that. Now, if she sings anymore, we might have a problem.
Yeah, I'm not a fan, but I never watched Glee.
But it's the faces she makes when she sings. I was watching New Year's Eve, the movie, the other day, because it was on.
Oh, yeah.
It was on, and I was cold, and the remote was above my blanket, not under it. So I didn't change. And she's like singing, and I'm looking at her face, and I'm like, girl, do you need to pass gas? What is going on? But that's neither here nor there. Anyway, the mayor is so good. His mother is his true north. He doesn't know a lot about politics. He's learning on the fly. But he does everything from his heart, and by him doing it from his heart and the writers writing it that way, you learn about yours. Like, it's like a, what would you do in this situation? Mm-hmm. And I love it. I love it. I love it. Oh, man, I love it. Watch The Mayor. I'm just saying. It's on ABC. Tommy?
Yes.
You still there?
I'm here. Of course. Right, I'm right. Always here.
She's saying you can chime in now.
Oh, okay.
I'm giggly.
Well, here's my issue. I have a very, very short attention span. And so I struggle with TV shows and movies and all that. Because
I have
like
some
I said,
15-minute shows that you can watch.
Please pass those along. Okay. I'll appreciate that. Like I said, I gave up on The Good Place after one episode because I found it boring. So there's that. Jen actually got me into a TV show, Catastrophe, which is on my approval list because it's funny and I can make it through an episode without getting bored. So there's okay. that. But
it's on Amazon Prime.
It's okay. on Amazon there's Prime. That. Yep. Jen actually, yeah, I appreciate Jen for giving me a tip.
She's good at that.
Yes, of course. One show that I caught on to over the break, as you called it, and y'all are going to be...
He's quoting himself.
Yes. Exactly, yes.
No, wait. He's quoting himself, quoting you.
Let's just call it The Remix.
The Remix. And
quoting himself.
Before we started, I told you I'm starting to get into Black Mirror, which I will have an update for later because I've only seen one episode. But... a show that made me feel good that I watched over the break. Mm-hmm. Y'all are going to die. It's called The Great British Baking Show.
Yes, I died just then. I really did. My soul left my body for like half a second.
I don't know what it is. It made me feel good. It made me happy. Like you said with The Mayor, it made you smile. This show made me smile. I love the production. I love that it's not like a real reality show. Yeah. I love the contestants. I love the hosts. It made me feel so good. And when it was done, I was happy for the winner, but I was sad that it was over. So that's my show, and I'm sticking to it.
And look at you adding PBS into our mix
of networks.
Of course.
Yes, it is on PBS, but I was able to catch it on Netflix. They have 4 seasons on Netflix, and I hope they add more because I'm in love.
Oh, it's because there's some spinoffs too. There's also The Great American Baking Show.
Did you hear what happened? They got canceled after one episode because one of the judges was accused of sexual harassment. So it didn't last very long here in America. But, you know, those Brits, they know how to do it.
Yeah, so are either of you watching The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel?
No, not yet.
But I keep hearing wonderful things about it.
It makes me feel good and happy. Okay. It takes place in the 1950s. It's this housewife decides to become a stand-up comic.
In the 50s.
In the 50s.
Wow.
It's and she along the way meets Lenny Bruce. famous comedian. I'm sure everybody knows, maybe not, but
yeah, and if you don't, I suggest you get some Google in your life.
Yes, but The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, and you know, it. She
It's Amazon Prime too,
Amazon
right?
Prime too. Okay. And it is just delightful. It's from the creators of Gilmore Girls.
Okay.
So it's very fast talking.
Snappy patter.
Snappy patter. It's almost, it just, you, this woman is so just, makes you feel good because she's so likable, but then she does some things you're like, not that likable, but she's so likable, it's okay.
Yeah.
And her her parents are in the show. Tony Shalhoub, who played Monk.
Yeah. He's a good actor.
He's a good actor. He is just like quietly hysterical. You know, he's like so understated and you know.
He was also in Wings.
Yes, he was, which I didn't watch, but I've heard he's in Wings.
It's good.
But anyway, it's a great show. She's sort of making her way in the world and trying to figure out her place, which so many of us are doing.
Yeah.
And so it's just a... And it's funny. She's a great stand-up comic, but she's trying to figure out her way and, you know, manage, you know, she, you know, has kids and these things are happening in her personal life, and her personal life sort of kicks off her career as a stand-up
comedian. And she's doing it in the 50s, which, not easy.
Yes.
Okay. I'm trying to, okay. We got to wrap up because Tommy's going to look at us like we're crazy.
See me now. And
that's
I can't see you.
True. So
we're in the new dig.
We are in the new digs, which is usually I could just go over and look over and see the arched eyebrow and know it's time. But now I can't. But we're going to wrap this. 2018, January, there are two shows that I really, really, really can't wait to see, and that's Grownish on Freeform. Is the spinoff from Blackish, where eldest daughter Zoe is off to college, and
it looks good.
It looks really good, and the spinoff episode was great. The first one was great, so I can't. And Charlie is like an adjunct professor. he teaches like a 3 o'clock in the morning ad 101 class, and they're like, who takes that class at 3 a.m? And he's like, mostly strippers. So Dion Cole is hilarious. Go to my author page. I interviewed him a while back about something. Who can remember what, but he was great. And Black Lightning, because superheroes are us. And oh my God, Black Lightning? Really? Really? I mean, y'all went to the end of the bench for this one, but I ain't even mad. I am not even mad. You know what? With that, we're coming back at you. We're going to have more recommendations, and we're going to talk more about more things, and we're going to try to be more regular for you guys. Oh, God, HR, come get me.
Did Dawn just make a resolution? I think she did.
Oh, God, I did. I guess I did. Anyway, take that to the bank. Resolution equals promise, and I said I wasn't going to do it, but I did it. Welcome back to From the Hip. May your 2018 be filled with mirth and as much joy as I had this morning when I woke up and realized I was just that step closer to Black Panther.
Hey, Jen, what is mirth?
Joy.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
It's just another way of saying joy.
Okay.
All right. We out.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming.
Anytime.
Bye, y'all.